This evening we're going to be continuing a series of studies that we began several months ago on the Ten Commandments. And we have studied our way through the first six commandments, and now we're going to study the seventh commandment. And so I invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 2 through 17 as we read together the Ten Commandments, and then we'll focus in upon the seventh commandment. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Of course, the background for this text is the children of Israel have come up out of the land of Egypt, where they had been enslaved for over 400 years. And they were camped at the base of Mount Sinai. And while they were there, Moses told them not to approach the mountain. And then God did something rather remarkable. He spoke these Ten Commandments directly from heaven to the children of Israel. They are referred to as the Ten Commandments in Exodus 34 and verse 28, and Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 3, and Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 4. And so the expression Ten Commandments is a biblical expression, not just one that men have labeled these commandments years later, perhaps. But they form the nucleus of God's desires for men to live holy and moral lives. God wanted to impress upon Israel the seriousness of these words and the importance of their practicing these things within their life. And so God spoke directly to them. The commandments are introduced with a statement of identification by God, as you noted in verse 1, I am the Lord your God. And then we see that they are in two parts. There is, first of all, man's love for God, and that is the first four commandments. And then there is the next six commandments, which is man's love for man. And so all of the commandments can be summed up in these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Today, the Ten Commandments are in the news, and they're politicized to a certain degree, but they are a symbol of morality and righteousness to many people. As we continue to study these Ten Commandments, it has been in our mind to be familiar with them, to get to know them, and to get to understand about them. And tonight we're going to be looking at the seventh commandment. This is in the second part of the Ten Commandments. And so this is talking about a man's love, proper love, godly love for his neighbor. And there is man's love for God, but then there's man's love for his neighbor as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this particular commandment deals with that. In fact, Paul explicitly says such in Romans chapter 13 and verses 9 through 10 when he says this, quote, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. What Paul is saying is that those who commit adultery, those who murder, those who covet, those who bear false witness, by their behavior, show that they really do not love their neighbor as they love themselves. And so today, as we think about the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, we see that that is one of the commandments that is violated left and right in our society, unfortunately, today. And those who commit adultery are really showing, according to the Apostle Paul, that they have no love for their fellow man. Today, adultery is practiced frequently. And there are even websites and businesses to promote it. And celebrities and politicians are embroiled in it. In fact, not too many years ago, there was a big brouhaha about how Tiger Woods was involved in adultery. And he was guilty of it. And as a result, lost his marriage and many other things. But what does God's Word have to say about this? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And I would like to think about this topic this evening as we think about the seventh commandment. First of all, let's define adultery. And there are different ways to look at the definition. First of all, let's think about what adultery is not. And then we will get into what adultery is. So first of all, we want to make it clear that adultery is not just fornication. Fornication is sinful sexual intercourse. And that's where you have two people who are unmarried who are having sexual intercourse with one another. And it can be any combination of people. And so that's not necessarily adultery. Adultery is not necessarily just being in a bad marriage or in a faithless marriage where the two people are in a marriage and they just don't have anything to do with one another anymore and they don't particularly enjoy each other's company and they don't like one another but nevertheless they're still married. That's not adultery. Adultery is not a mental act per se or just thinking about being with someone else in a sexual way. That is not adultery. Adultery, as defined within the Bible, is a very specific act that one does with another person. In John chapter 8 and verse 4, there the Pharisees who brought the woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus said this, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." And so adultery is something that is done. It's a very specific act that is committed. It is an act wherein at least one party is married. And that's the important distinction between adultery and fornication. When you're involved in fornication, usually the two parties involved in the sexual activity are not married. But in adultery, at least one of the parties is married. And that's what the Bible says is adultery. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 23 says. It confirms this. It says, quote, "Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord." So adultery is something that you do with someone else's spouse. It's a sexual relationship with another person's spouse. And it is a physical sexual act. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 32 gives the clearest biblical definition of adultery. Listen to this. This is Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 32. "But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband." So think about that for a moment. A person who commits adultery takes a stranger, that is, into one's bed for sexual purposes instead of his or her spouse. And that's what the definition of adultery is. One may commit adultery with someone to whom one, in fact, is married. And there are marriages that the Bible characterizes as being adulterous marriages. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 3. He says this, "So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." So there's an instance where someone was actually married to another man, but she was actually an adulteress, and they were actually living in adultery because of the situation of which they were in. The Bible speaks of adultery both literally and figuratively. Now, we've been talking about the literal definition of adultery. And so, in a literal sense, adultery is the act of having sexual intercourse with someone who is married to another person. In the figurative or spiritual sense, adultery is being unfaithful to another person or to God. And when we talk about the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, what is in mind in that particular passage is the literal definition, not the figurative one. The figurative one is used to describe Israel's unfaithful relationship with God in the Old Testament, but not a literal relationship. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. "And I saw when, for this very cause, that backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet treacherous Judah, her sister, feared not, but she also went and played the harlot." So this is a figurative description of what Israel and Judah were doing in their relationship with God. And God was describing it in these terms to illustrate just how awful that relationship had become. And so when we think about the definition of adultery, the Bible makes that definition really very clear if we'll look at what the Bible literally says in these passages. And I think the best definition, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 32, "But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband," is one of the best definitions that you can find anywhere of the word. Now, let's think about adultery under the two covenants. You know, these, as we've been studying these Ten Commandments, we've been noting specifically the commandment under the Old Covenant and then looking at the commandment under the New Covenant as well. And so tonight we're going to do that also. And so thinking about adultery under the Old Covenant, we note specifically that it is prohibited in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 20 and verse 14. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32, it said this way, "He that committeth adultery with a woman is void of understanding. He doeth it who would destroy his own soul." And so adultery is a serious sin that God says the person who commits adultery has no understanding and he would destroy his own soul by doing it. At times God's people were guilty of adultery in the Old Testament in mass. In fact, it was a common practice, meaning it was a common practice, unfortunately. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 7, we read these words, quote, "How can I pardon thee? Thy children have forgotten me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves in troops at the harlots' houses." And so there the children of Israel were found guilty by God of committing adultery. The penalties for adultery under the Old Testament were very harsh. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10, we read this, quote, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." God did not want the people of Israel committing adultery, and so he pronounced this particular punishment upon the act of adultery. Now that's adultery under the old covenant. And as many of us know very well, we are under the new covenant today. And we're thankful for that because the new covenant is a covenant of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And so God doesn't deal with us in the same way today under the new covenant as he dealt with Israel under the old covenant. But nevertheless, adultery is still a sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says this, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate or homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so adulterers are found within that list who will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Galatians 5 in verses 19 through 21, adultery is listed among the works of the flesh. The Apostle Paul says, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And he heads off the list with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, adultery is a sin which originates within the heart of man, as do all sins. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, "For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings." And it should be noted here very specifically that Jesus does condemn these things as being sinful. Adultery and fornication. Homosexuality is a specific kind of fornication. And this is just an aside, but a lot of people sometimes will say, "Well, Jesus never condemned homosexuality." Well, that's not true. He condemned it right here in Matthew 15 and verse 19 when he said that fornication was a sin that came out of the heart. And so fornication is listed along with adultery as being sinful. But Jesus takes things up a notch in the new covenant when he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And what Jesus is telling us here is that we shouldn't, obviously, we shouldn't commit adultery, but he's also saying that we should control our thoughts enough so that we don't even commit adultery within our thoughts, within our heart, because that's where it comes from. And that's where the battle for all of these sins, whether it's adultery or fornication or uncleanness or envy or murder or drunkenness or whatever, that's where all of these sins begin, and that's where the battle will be won or lost, within the heart of man. And so that's what we must do. We must battle these things within our heart. Nevertheless, Jesus did acknowledge in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 the problem of adultery in his day, when he said, "And I say unto you, whoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her, when she is put away, committeth adultery." Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. We noted that the penalty for adultery underneath the old covenant was the death of both the adulterer and the adulteress. And there was one occasion in John chapter 8 where some Pharisees brought an adulteress to Jesus, put her before him, and said, "In the law, it is commanded that this woman should be stoned to death. What do you say?" And Jesus didn't really reply to them at first, but then after they continued to pester him, finally Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. There were a couple of problems there that Jesus called attention to in reference to these men who had brought this woman taken in adultery. First of all, where was the adulterer? The adulteress was present, but where was the adulterer? The law had said that both the adulterer and the adulteress were to be put to death. And so Jesus, in calling attention to the idea that let him who is without sin cast the first stone, might have been pointing the finger at the witness himself as being the one who was the adulterer. We don't know that for certain, but it could be the case that that was what was going on. Nevertheless, it certainly didn't appear to be the case that these men wanted to stone the adulterer as well as the adulteress. And so one by one, they started leaving and walking away. And so that left no witnesses then to accuse this woman. And Jesus said, "Woman, is there no one to accuse you?" And she said, "No one." Now Jesus knew exactly what had happened, but with no witnesses, he was not in a position to execute the penalty of the old covenant upon her. And so he simply said, "Go thy way and sin no more." And so she was excused from the penalty because of lack of witnesses. Nevertheless, we see that Jesus wanted to forgive people, and he wanted to receive them. And today, adultery is a sin that is dealt with by forgiveness in this life. And as long as someone is willing to repent of that sin and return to the Lord and to confess that fault, then they can be forgiven of the adultery that they've been committing within their life. But oftentimes, adultery is a very difficult sin to overcome. Adultery is a very difficult thing to deal with within one's life. And there needs to be some counseling and patience and a lot of loving work done with individuals who are involved with the sin of adultery. But let's not forget the words in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Because there are some who commit adultery today and they want to do it. They have no qualms about doing that and they are impenitent in that regard. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible tells us very clearly of what will be the result of those. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so God's judgment is waiting those who are impenitent in committing adultery within their life. Now when we think about the Bible's teaching of adultery, we should think about this seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God prohibited it to Israel. It is prohibited in the Old Testament. It is prohibited within the New Testament. And the sin under the Old Covenant was punishable by death, but the sin under the New Testament can be forgiven. However, judgment is waiting for those who will not repent. So, thou shalt not commit adultery. One of the Ten Commandments. And I hope that this evening, as we've been studying this and what the Bible has to say about it, that we've understood a little bit about this topic. Again, if you're visiting with us tonight, we're very thankful for your presence, and we're glad that you're here, and we hope that what we've done tonight and looking at what the Bible says about this sensitive subject, we hope that you can appreciate that we are here to study what the Bible says, what all of the Bible says, not just part of it, but all of it. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and that every part of it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And certainly we want everyone to have an opportunity to participate in the kingdom of God and to inherit the great promises that God has promised to us about that kingdom when Jesus comes back to this earth again. Those who participate in adultery will not inherit that kingdom. And so we warn everyone and we implore with everyone to repent of the sins that are separating you and your God and to return to Him this very evening so that you can live in a way as to inherit that wonderful kingdom that is coming for all of the Lord's saints. If you need to make confession tonight of a sin within your life, maybe it's not adultery, but there are many other sins that the Bible discusses, some of them that we listed this evening. And those things will keep one out of the kingdom of God just as much as adultery will. Participating in those other sins are just as bad as adultery is, although adultery has somewhat of a stigma in society today. Nevertheless, that is something that we need to be aware of in regard that any sin will keep us out of the kingdom of heaven if it's a sin that we will not repent of. And so tonight there is opportunity to make things right with God, and if you feel like you need to do that this evening, then we are ready to help you in that regard. If you're not a Christian tonight and you've realized this evening that the Word of God holds up a high standard of moral behavior, and you understand that to be the case, then you will want to acknowledge that Jesus is that standard for what is right and wrong, and become a child of God, become a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, a Christian, one who is of Christ. And you can do that this evening. Hear the words of Jesus and believe them. Repent of those sins that we talked about earlier. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the remission of sins to become a child of God tonight. Whatever your need may be, we encourage you to come now while together we stand and sing this song.